Welcome to Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. We are located at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. If you don't have a home, church, we would love for you to consider making your home with us. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school at 10 a.m. and Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. Sunday night Bible study begins at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night prayer meeting starts at 6 p.m. Now it's time to enjoy a wonderful anointed message from Pastor Jimmy Haining.
Hallelujah. Some of them people get caught up in the bars. They go to them bars and they're not always feeling 100% when they go to them bars. Amen. There's people that will find a way to a bar, Sister Nedra, and they're not even 50%. But they got to get one more drink. Well, I'm drinking from this new wine. Amen. And there's no side effects. I said, let's say it this way. There are no ill side effects. It's got side effects, but it's nothing that's going to hurt you. Amen. It'll carry you all the way home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give him praise this morning, church. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. I tell you, church, I have been on pins and needles all week about this thought. And the devil stole it from my mind for about 3 days. How many know sometimes that you can get afflicted in your body and it can affect your mind? The devil knows how to sidetrack us. He knows how to get us in a place where we can become neutralized if we're not careful. And when I began to pray, Brother Gene, I said, Lord, I know you gave me that thought for this week, and I can't remember the title of it to save my life. But if you'll bring it back to me, Lord, if you'll bring it back to me, I'll do what you told me to do. And the Lord brought that thought right back to my mind. And the thought this morning goes right along with both the songs we sang, Going to Run On Home Now. I've come too far, and my thought this morning is we have come too far. We have come too far. If you brought your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. I'm not going to do our memory verse this morning. I feel impressed of the Lord to go straight on with the word this morning. Philippians, chapter 3. And when you get there, we're going to read one verse in verse number 14. Once you've found it, if you would stand with me for the reading of the word. Hallelujah. Paul says, I press. How many can say that with me? Press, 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 press. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to read just one verse there as well. Hebrews chapter 12 and the very first verse. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Again, Paul speaking here. And he says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily, did you catch that? Which doth so easily, what does it do? Beset us, and let us run with patience this race that is set before us. Father, we're thankful for your word this morning. We ask for your divine anointing. We ask, Lord, that you'll open up the hearts, minds, and ears of your people to receive this, your word this morning. Touch this, your servant. May I be led only to speak what you would have me to speak, and we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for your visitation that we have felt here this morning, and from you speaking to us expressly this morning. In your holy name, we give you thanks. And the church said, amen. You may be seated. I've thought about how many people have started out in a race. The Apostle Paul liked to use that analogy about the race. And we've seen it. Some of us have seen it live in action. Some of us have seen it on the television. But nonetheless, we've seen it where they are engaged in a race. But Brother Mark, it's not everyone that runs the race that will receive the prize. I remember growing up in school, Brother Gene, they used to make us run laps, and I hear they still do that. And I can remember back then, like I am now, being a little short, chubby fella, After about that second lap around the gymnasium, I began to get a cramp right here in the rib, and I felt like I could not breathe. And I would stop, and the coach would say, "What's wrong with you, Haining? I didn't tell you you could stop. Get to running." And so my running went like this. Eventually, he felt sorry for me, said, "I'll just go sit down." That's what I wanted to do anyway. And there's a lot of Christians like that. They get tired, and the devil says, "Why don't you just go sit down?" "I believe I will." And they find them a place to sit. But can I tell you this morning, we've come too far to turn and go back now. The Apostle Paul uses this word press. In the Greek, it is translated dioko. Listen to this definition. It means to seek after eagerly. To seek after eagerly. Listen to this one. To run swiftly. To run swiftly. And the last one, to earnestly endeavor to acquire. To earnestly endeavor to acquire. It's not everyone, as I said before, that's going to receive the prize. Why, Brother Jimmy? Because there's so many people today that are allowing the devil to beset them with things along the way. They start out running the race, and when they start out, buddy, they're ready to tear down the kingdom of hell and build up the kingdom of God and tell everyone they know about how they got saved, Brother Gene. But let them go a little way sometimes and let a little adversity come their way. And before you know it, they're looking for a place to rest their weary soul. Paul said, "I press for the mark." In other words, he says, "I'm pressing for the goal. I've got a goal. I've got an end in sight. For the prize or the reward or the award, however you want to say it, of the high calling." The high calling simply means God's invitation, heaven's invitation. "Of the high calling of God in" who? "Christ Jesus. Let us therefore," verse 15, "as many as be perfect, be thus minded." In other words, what we've read in verse 14. "And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." When he says "as many as be perfect," simply what he's saying is those of us who are complete or mature in the Lord. Not everybody is complete in God. Not everybody is mature in God. It's easier to give in to the flesh. And let me just say this. Once you give in to the flesh one time, the next time it's easier to give in to the flesh again. When the devil knows how far you'll fight and then you'll stop, he'll take you beyond that point. Because he knows if he just keeps pushing and pushing and pushing, eventually he's going to wear you down. Paul said, "I press. I press." Just like the lady that had the issue of blood, the Bible said she pressed her way through the crowd. She could have easily said, "Sister Crystal, I just can't get through. I don't have any strength in my body. I've lost so much blood. I just can't make it because the crowd is so thick and they're blocking my way and there's people telling me to get out of the way." But the Bible said she pressed her way through the crowd and she touched the hem of the garment of Jesus, and at the moment she made contact, she was made whole. I press towards that mark. In that verse he said, "And if any be otherwise minded," and basically what he's saying is if there's someone that's mixed up in their thinking, if they're mixed up in their priorities. How many have ever seen somebody like that before? They're mixed up in their priorities. He said, "God is able to reveal this even to them." God's able to, in other words, to straighten them out. And that's one of the biggest hang-ups in the church world today, is they've gotten their priorities skewed. Everything else is more important to them than God. Everything else is more important to them than God's house and spending time in prayer or studying God's word or going out, God forbid, knocking on doors and being a witness for Jesus. I've heard people laugh and make fun of the Jehovah's Witnesses. I've heard them laugh and make fun of the Mormons. I've heard them laugh and make fun of all these different, as we refer to as the cult, cultic type, not a cult, but occult type church, that they don't, you know, they believe in another way other than Jesus Christ. But I've often said this, Brother Gene, I've got to give them credit on one thing. They press. They press, and it doesn't matter what you say to them. I've watched them. I actually witnessed this for myself one time. I seen a big burly guy cuss one of them little kids out in a suit. I call them little kids. That's what they look like. They walk around in a three-piece suit, and it could be 95 degrees out, and they're still walking around in a suit, knocking on doors. We got kids in our church want to come to church half-dressed because they're hot. What about these that get out in 95-degree weather, and they're wearing a three-piece suit? There's still such a thing known as God as holiness and purity. Amen. We've got to look right, but that's not what I'm on this morning. They go to these doors and they begin to knock, and a guy answered the door and began to cuss him out. You know what he did? He smiled and said, have a good day. Went to the next door. How many of us Pentecostals, if we knocked on a door and we got cussed out? Well, this must not be the will of God. We need to find another way to go about doing things. And the devil said, Brother Mike, why don't you just have a seat? I believe I will. We've come too far to turn and go back now. Paul said in verse 16, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, in other words, the point that we've already come to, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, listen to this next part, and mark them, or in other words, take notice of them, which walk so as you have us for an example to walk. In other words, he's saying, we are to observe a person's walk and to judge whether or not it is in perfect congruence with what God has prescribed in his word or whether it's something else. He didn't say judge the person. Judge the walk. Judge the walk. Can I tell you there's a lot of people walking today, but they're not walking after the way Jesus said to walk. They're creating another Calvary. They're creating, in their own mind anyway, another way to get to God. We are commissioned to walk as those who are walking in accordance with the Word of God. I want you to see what this word walk means in the Greek. Listen very carefully. This one little word, walk, means to progress, to regulate or conduct one's life in such a way or manner as to make due use of the opportunities that are presented to us. That right there is enough to rebuke us and say, Lord, help us. That right there is enough to make every one of us hit our knees harder. If they're walking, as I said before, in a manner that's different from the way that Christ walks, listen to this. It is not only a different walk, like I said, but it is a deceptive walk. And ultimately, it is an ungodly walk. Well, that's pretty strong words, Brother Jimmy. That's what the Bible says. It's an ungodly walk if it's not the way Christ is walking. I'm talking about we've come too far to turn and go back now. How many's ever been in a place in your life where you've thought, I'm just going to throw up my hands and quit? You don't got to raise your hand, but I want you to think about that. Have you ever been to a place in your Christian experience where you thought, this is just time for me to throw in the towel? I'm never going to be able to be as good as that little short, fat feller says I'm supposed to be. I'm never going to be able to achieve what God's word says I need to achieve. I'm never going to be able to do this. I'm never going to be able to do that. Why don't I just throw in the towel and quit? You know, I heard a person tell a story one time, and it's a true story of a pastor who pastored for over 40 years, him and his wife. And the story goes on to say that his wife died. And before she died, she got real sick. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And this pastor happened to be one of them pastors that really preached hot and heavy on healing and all these type of things. But his wife died, Sister Nedra. And I don't recall their names, and it's probably a good thing I don't recall their names because that's not important anyway. But I do remember this part of the story said he began to become so grieved and so vexed that finally he got someone else to come in and pastor the church, and he quit preaching. And he would go out, the story said, every single day he would go out to the cemetery and he would sit in front of her gravestone, Brother Gene, and he would just weep and cry for hours. And it said the people in the community got used to seeing this. They knew. At first, they kind of thought it was strange, but after seeing it day after day, Brother Francis, they thought, well, we're used to that fella being there. Until one day, the kids were out back playing in the neighbor's yard, and they heard a gunshot. And the mother come running out, and she thought, oh, my God, somebody shot my baby. And she happened to look over in a cemetery, and that one-time pastor was slumped over the gravestone. He had put a gun to his head, blowed his brains out. Because his wife had died and God didn't heal her. Wouldn't it be terrible to spend that many years working for God, to come that far and turn and go back and give up on God. Brother Jimmy, that's an awful grim story to share. I want it to penetrate this morning. I want you to think about that this morning. My mom has said something for years that has always stuck with me. There ain't a one of us in this building this morning that has a halo floating over our head. We haven't sprouted wings. We are not in heavenly places. As the great, great Foster Manning used to say, I'm saved, but I'm not safe yet. We've not made it to the other side yet. What are you trying to say? The devil's got his crossbow set on each and every one of us, and he knows if he can hit us at our weakest moment, he can take us down. I don't know about you, but I've come way too far to turn and go back now. You know what, Sister Nedra, we might not agree and see eye to eye on everything. Me and Dad might not agree and see eye to eye on everything, and we don't. Me and you, we might not agree and see eye to eye on everything. Me and my board members, we might not always see eye to eye and agree on. But you know one thing, Brother Gene? We've come too far to turn and go back now. There's too many people selling out God because of other people. There's too many people selling out God because of their own foolish pride. There's too many people selling out God for some people, places, or things that God made to begin with. We're to love one another. I like what the Apostle John said. There was a lot of good flamboyant apostles in the Bible, and we love to read about their teaching and their preaching. But the one that impresses me out of all of them is the Apostle John, the one that gave us the book of Revelation. He said, children, love one another. Love one another. He didn't say, children, love one another as long as you agree with each other. If he did that, we'd all be in trouble. There wouldn't be a person in the house this morning. I press. Verse 18, listen to this, this is sad. For many walk, I told you about that other walk, of whom I have told you often, and now I tell you even weeping, that they are the what? The enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. We've come too far, folks, to be given in by diverse kinds of false doctrines. And this is prevalent in the church world today. People would rather buy the latest, greatest book by Joel Osteen or Joyce Myers or Rick Warren, and you can, the list goes on and on and on, even Jack Van Impe and Jimmy Swaggart. They'd rather buy their books than get their nose in the book and find out what Jesus said we're supposed to be doing. He tells us here in verse 19, four sure red flags to look for with these false doctrines. He said, number one, they are destructive. How are they destructive, Brother Jimmy? You've heard me preach up here and beat a horse to death on that subject. Anytime they're telling you to try it a certain way other than the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ, it is destructive. Amen. Number two, they are proudful and they are selfish gluttons. What do you mean by that? Well, rather than taking time to go to a place like Target Dayton and rub elbows, Brother Tom, with those smelly people that we call homeless people, and offer them a plate of food, and God forbid, shake their dirty hand and have a word of prayer with them, they would rather sit behind their gold-plated baby grand piano and their golden high-back chairs and talk about this new product that they're pushing. Hallelujah. Rather than to do what Jesus commissioned us to do. And that's not just saying, hey, you know Jesus? He's your Savior and He can help you. It doesn't stop there. The Bible said, and I forget which apostle it was, but one of them said, what good does it do, Brother Mark, to tell someone who does not have a coat in the cold, I'm putting it in our terms here, go and be warm, and seeing that you give not them the things that are needful to be warm, what good does that do? Someone comes to you and they're starving, Brother John, and you say, go in the name of Jesus and be fed, and you don't give them bread, what good have you done? We've got churches that become so cozy and sitting behind the four walls and hooping and hollering and praying. And I love to hoop and holler and praise. Don't get me wrong. I want to do more of that. I think us Pentecostals need to exalt the name of Jesus. That's why we come together in church. But this is not where the ministry is. I have fallen out with a lot of pastors over the years over this very subject. Some pastors think, Sister Nedra, because they're a pastor, that all they have to do is show up on Wednesday nights, Sunday morning and Sunday nights, and occasionally visit somebody from the church, and they've done their duty. Last time I checked, and I'm looking around here this morning, I don't see any sinners. I don't see any homosexuals. I don't see any drug addicts. Now I'm just going by what I can see. I don't see any alcoholics. I don't see any murderers. I don't see any pedophiles. You know where they're at? They're outside the four walls. The ministry is not in the tabernacle. Worship is in the tabernacle. We were touching on this a little bit again in our board meeting. We need people to come into the tabernacle. Or as the Word of God in the Old Testament puts it, the tent of meeting. I love that. And get people to raise their hands. Break out of their shell. God help us. Why is it that we can get so excited, and you've heard me say this many times, over our favorite sports show? Why is it we can get so worked up over our favorite program on television, and it will move us out of our seat? But when we come to the house of God, we got to be reverent. Word of God says, God seeketh those to worship him in the spirit and in the truth. And another verse, and I believe Sister Crystal quoted it earlier, said that God inhabits our praises. You've heard that old saying, when the praise goes up, the spirit comes down. When the praise goes up, that rain comes down. I like that old, what was the name? The Canton Spirituals sang that old song. Come on in the building, children, it's gonna rain. Come on in the building, children, it's gonna rain. It's one thing to be seated. It's another thing to come in the building. It's one thing to sit on the pew and be counted as a number and drop your dollar in the offering plate. And it's another thing altogether to come on in the building, children. It's going to rain. He's talking about that heavenly rain. If we want that heavenly rain, if we want that deliverance, if we want that healing, if we want to see people saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, we've got to praise him. We've got to praise him. That's what the tabernacle is for. But when we leave the tabernacle, Brother Mike, that's when we engage. And we see someone in need. And Brother Jimmy, they're not a Christian. Even the more so reason to hug them around the neck. Say, can I help you? How can I help? What can I pray with you? Are you hungry? I'll take you to Burger King. No, I'll tell you what. I'll take you to Texas Longhorn and buy you a steak. Brother Gene gave me a CD a while back, and I played it on the radio a couple weeks ago. I sit there and laugh every time I hear it. And one of my favorite preachers that you've been giving me, and he was talking about being in a meeting one night, and he said he wasn't used to him raising offerings for him. And this particular evening, the place was packed. And he said he wasn't expecting it. And I know I'm not telling it just exactly right, but he said, the pastor said, now we're going to lift a love offering for our brother. And he said under his breath, well, thank you, Jesus. He was looking around, seeing all them people. Thank you, Lord. You know? And he said, they took up the offering. He was excited to get it. And then the Lord spoke to him. He said, now I want you to take every dime of that and give it back to the pastor and tell him it's for the church. And he said, he thought for a minute, he thought, now I know this can't be God telling me this. I said that to say this. Sometimes we as Christians, we're at home eating our favorite meal, drinking our favorite drink. I'm a Pepsi Cola man myself. Some of you might be a Coke. Whatever it is, I don't care. But we'll drink our Pepsi. But if we run into someone who's a little down and out on their luck, we'll give them a Sam's Club Cola because it's cheaper. God says, take that person and get them something to eat. What do? We find the nearest Hardee's because it's cheaper than McDonald's, and we're going to buy them a cheeseburger. And what we should be doing is finding the best steakhouse in Dayton, saying, come on, let me feed you. You got any kids? Bring them along. Amen. That's true ministry. Brother Archie said, we left Target Dayton the very next morning. He said, I was eating my breakfast, and I was looking down at my oats, and I thought, oh, my Lord.
Yep.
What about them oats? And what about all those people that we saw? Brother Gene brought little ones in like Emmanuel and Joy with them, homeless. That broke my heart. Because I think about my house, Brother Mike, my cupboards are full. Now, my wife, they might be full. Every week she cleans it halfway out and brings it to the church, but still. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As the other evangelist said, Lord, is this really you? And let me tell you the rest of that story in case you hadn't heard it. And they got to the end of the service and it said this lady came up to him, an older lady, had the bun, you know, one of them holiness looking individuals, and said, what do you think about that offering they took up, brother? He said, well, I don't know. He said, what do you think? And she said, well, I'll have you know, I only put 80 cents in that offering because I got a feeling they're just pocketing that money. He said, I thought, good Lord, I emptied my whole wallet. I hope not. Thank you, brother. Now I'm going to get to my message. Just kidding. Listen, this last one. They mind earthly things. This is a place, good as place as any for me to interject this next part. Hebrews chapter 12, we'll read it again. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. I'm going to stop there for a minute. How many times have you heard the old saying, they're so earthly minded that they're just no heavenly good at all? Yeah. How many times you've heard that? Maybe you haven't heard this phrase. I know Jeff has. The sit and click. The sit and click. The sit and click. Some of you have seen my daughters. Help me, Lord Jesus, to keep my sanctification. Because when they got them tablets out, they're like a zombie. Rachel, what, Dad? I've done interrupted her. People get on the computer, sit and click. Some of them say, well, but my game's more sophisticated. It takes more brains. Yeah, but you're sitting and clicking right along with the rest of them. Sit and click, sit and click. Hour goes by, 2 hours. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. An hour goes by, 2 hours goes by. Before you know it, it's 8 o'clock at night. Where in the world did time go? I've been sitting here clicking, sitting here clicking, sitting here clicking.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message by Pastor Jimmy Haney and Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. Pastor Jimmy and the congregation would like to invite you to visit with them in service at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. We will see you again right here next week.
His love changed me. I'm not what I am.
HLERadio.com, Jennings, Louisiana.